Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. From making your own cleaning products to composting, recycling, keeping chooks and reducing your carbon footprint, Maureen and her guests will inspire you with practical, everyday solutions that make a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
Welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, host for this show. At the household level in Dunedin, it's become pretty common to find houses that are largely heated with renewable energy, such as efficient heat pumps powered from our electricity grid, which is primarily renewable, or by wood burners or pellet burners. A growing number of big businesses and organisations in Dunedin, Otago and Southland are also making the transition away from the old days of coal-powered heat generation to new carbon-neutral clean biomass heaters using wood pellets or wood chips. My guest today lives in Dunedin and has been very involved with this transition. Lloyd McGinty is co-director of Ahika Consulting, a company which provides advice on environmental management and energy efficiency. Lloyd has a balance of practical skills plus the academic skills to bring to this position. He originally trained as a plumber and is still registered. Plus, in 2006, he obtained a science degree in energy studies from the University of Otago. Lloyd is currently very involved with the project Wood Energy South. This is a project based in Southland that has been set up by ICA and Venture Southland. It's a three-year program and its mission is to reduce energy-related carbon emissions in Southland, focusing on wood chip and wood pellets as renewable alternatives to coal. It also hopes to improve air quality and create jobs in the sector. In this show, recorded on the 27th of March, I'm talking with Lloyd McGinty about converting industrial coal-burning heaters to renewable biomass. What is being achieved here in the chilly south of New Zealand? How easy is it for companies to do? What are the benefits and the incentives? And what are some of the limitations of this technology? So thank you for coming on the show, Lloyd.
No, you're welcome. Hi, Maureen. Good to hear from you all the way in Ireland.
That's right. I'm Skyping in for this show. So tell me, I had a look at the Wood Energy South website and it was very detailed, very, very informative. What's your role with this group?
Yeah, I'm the technician for the project, so I directly engage with the energy users, mostly industrial users. Talk to them about wood energy, have they thought about it, visit their sites. We do pre-feasibility reports to see if there's opportunities, and then I tie them in with what funding might be available for capital grants as well as feasibility grant funding. So, yeah, my main role is just that technical part of it.
And do these organisations and businesses, do they contact you or do you contact them?
Yeah, a bit of both. We sort of developed a list of sites that we thought would be, you know, the low-hanging fruit and got in touch with those first. And then as the project drew along, we started getting more and more interest from other contacts. So it's a three-year project and it actually finishes in June this year. It's a partnership between Venture Southland and ICA. And Venture Southland is, I guess, the economic development component of Invercargill City, Gore District and Southland District Councils, and ICA contributed $1.5 million towards that project.
And so are you feeling quite happy with the position that you've got yourself into? Are there quite a few businesses that you feel that have made the transition and you're pretty proud of?
Yeah, look, it's been a great project and, you know, it's not over yet. This is just the three-year starting plan, I guess, for Southland. They're very forward-thinking down there and, you know, they're thinking about the next 100 years and we're in coal country down there. We've got really cheap lignite and that has been one of the barriers to the project. But again, one of the proudest moments for us down there was the conversion of Takitimu School to wood chip. Now, Takitimu School is right in the heart of coal country and they didn't have to pay for their fuel. The local coal mine gave them free coal. every year, so they didn't have to change over. You know, the economics weren't there for it, but they chose to move to wood chip because they saw it as sort of a leading leadership sort of position to take.
That's very, very impressive. And they actually approached you, did they, to help them?
Yeah, look, we've worked with the Ministry of Education quite closely on this, and that's probably another big outcome from this project is we've had real good engagement with the Ministry that other regions haven't had. And so, you know, they're replacing three boilers a year at the moment down there. There's probably, you know, 40 coal boilers down there, and they're replacing three a year at the moment, and they're going to wood.
It's absolutely fantastic. And do you think this is a parent-driven kind of thing? But it sounds like the Ministry of Education is very proactive, at least.
Yeah, especially in Southland. They get energy efficiency, they get the environment, the leadership, and also the economics. The economics of wood stack up even against coal long-term when you know, at the moment, they've had boilers down there that have failed after 10 years, and these are pieces of plant that should last 25, 30 years, and you do your economic assessment, and 10 years later, it falls over because of the quality of the coal. They've really then looked at their numbers seriously compared to wood, and wood is stacked up more economic.
Right. Let's talk about some of those benefits. So you're saying, you know, over time, that the wood burners, they will pay off.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
like, what kind of time frame are we talking about?
Over the life of the boiler, so we're talking 25, 30 years for these boilers. That's the typical life for them. So, you know, the benefits of moving from coal to wood, there's a cost associated with the maintenance. There's a cost associated with ash removal. You've got a very high ash on these coal boilers, up to 6% ash versus wood chip. You know, it can be 0.2% if it's a really high grade fuel, 1%, that sort of in that range. So you got a reduced coal cost. And I just got to remember, we're dealing with industrial users down in Southland. So the volumes we're talking are big. We're talking maybe two truck and trailers a day going into a facility. So the amount of ash then becomes quite a major cost.
Yeah, and because, you know, the coal ash, I guess, has a lot of toxins in it, so they have to then deal with that waste, don't they?
Yeah, that's right, and they have to find a home for that, and it's got to sit there versus wood chip. It's can go into your garden, basically. You could use it as a fertilizer.
Yeah. Well, it makes a lot of sense. What else do you love about wood?
Yeah, it's local. It comes out of our forests. It's a waste product that's normally sitting, rotting away in the forest, that's not utilised. So I love that whole story of we're powering our city from the local trees. Just love that story.
And as you say, it's close to home, so it's about, I guess, less transportation with vehicles, and you can see where your fuel's coming from. So if you're running out, you know to plant more trees.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and down in Southland, we've got lots of trees. Otago as well, we've got an abundance of forest estates down here. So that's a real bonus. And that was probably one of the first key things, key pieces of work that we got done for Wood Energy South. That was that security of supply for a big organisation to convert over. They want to know that the wood is there. And that's a key piece of work that we got done right early on in the project. And that was sort of the proof, the evidence that we've got lots of wood over the next 50 years.
Mm. And what about, is there, you know, a system of replanting with the idea so that total amount of wood isn't actually going to be depleted?
Yep, absolutely. You know, you've got your corporate estates, you've got your city forests in Dunedin, you've got your Rainier, you've got all the large corporate guys, and then in between there, nestled in between there, are your mum and dad forest owners who have got small blocks, and their pattern is a bit erratic for planting. They'll sort of chop down the trees when the price is right, but the big corporate guys who are, you know, they're the 95% of the volume, they've just got a system in place. When it gets to this age, it gets chopped down, that land gets rested. 2 years later, it's replanted. So it's sustainable, and it's not going away. And I guess what we're really starting to see now from these larger users is the importance of branding, their environmental credentials. We're working with a dairy factory at the moment, and you know, it's really important to them that they had the option to use coal, and it's like, no, we're not using coal. That is not part of our environmental strategy. And so that's a big decision for a dairy company to make, when it could be saving millions of dollars by using coal, but that's more important for them. So we're starting to really see that. I guess the demand from the end user to say, where's my milk coming from? Where is this product coming from? What sort of heat are you using? You know, they are starting to hear that now, and the power of the consumer.
Yeah, so it's really good. And now, so let's talk about, you know, the, because we do, as a nation, I guess, on a per capita basis, we do use quite a lot of energy. And, you know, and if historically a lot of this energy has been coal generated, from energy that has been, I guess, accumulated over millions of years, and then we switch to a renewable heat system, do you talk to businesses and organizations about the need to kind of look for efficiencies in other areas so that we're having a kind of a real reduction of energy use? Because with renewable energy, like, we don't have as much energy to use, do we? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it does. You know, for these big organizations, that's always on their mind. They're always thinking about, how can we improve our process? How do we make it more efficient? They're not thinking about, how do we reduce producing products? They're always thinking about, how can we produce more, of course. But they're always thinking about it on an efficiency basis. So when we go in and do an assessment of these sites, we're always looking for opportunities to reduce their demand, you know, really obvious energy efficiency opportunities. So, you know, with, yeah, they're large industrial users. They're not, you know, it's not a household. It's a big user. So they're spending, you know, some of the clients we work with, their power bill's $3 million a month. So they're looking for, you know, if they can find a 10% energy gain, then that's going to be better for their bottom line.
Well, it must feel fantastic to go in and help these businesses, you know, and really feel that you're making such a huge difference.
Yeah, it does, but it's also can be quite frustrating when you find a really good opportunity and they don't go with it, you know. So it swings and roundabouts, but overall, it is good when you make a game with a large energy user. You know, it has a big effect, I guess.
With any organization, it's bringing in a new change that can, because it's such a big machine, it's there's a resistance to change.
Yeah, there can be, for sure. But it's, if you can get the numbers to work on paper, then they'll look at it. You know, they'll, even if it's something out there, you know, really weird, but if you can show them that it works on paper, then they may take it seriously.
Right. Also, having perhaps other businesses or other organizations that have made similar changes and have then seen similar improvements.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, that leads, and that's where ECA can come into it. ECA will provide funding for maybe what they call tech demo projects, where you've got some new technology that you're introducing into your business, and then they can promote that out to other users and hopefully get everyone else to adopt it as well.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, the wood burners. Another issue is that at the household level, for example, you know, you can have a fantastic wood burner, but if people actually use damp or unseasoned wood in it, you know, you're going to end up with a whole lot of particulate emissions and it not running as efficiently. Do you have similar kind of problems at the industrial level?
Yeah, you do. You have to really, the key part is matching the fuel that you've got available to the boiler technology. So, you know, when we go in and do an assessment for a large user, the first thing we look at is what sort of fuel is available. Is it a wet fuel? Is it a dry fuel? Is it, you know, does it look like absolute compost, or is it a really clean, you know, high quality product? And then we match that up to the boiler. So yeah, but you know, with the right boiler, you can burn some absolute junk inside these boilers and produce low emissions and have very high efficiencies. We burn wet fuels. Some of the stuff I've seen in Europe is it's compost. It really is compost, and they have to keep turning it over to stop it catching on fire.
And are these boilers coming in from Europe primarily?
Yeah, all the low quality wood fuel requires, you know, very sophisticated boilers, and they're all coming out of Europe. You know, some of them we've seen, you know, steam, they're producing steam, the temperature in the boilers are 900 degrees C. By the time it gets to the flue, I can put my hand on the flue, it's 45 degrees, and they've extracted every last bit of energy out of it.
It's really amazing, isn't it? So, you know, you work primarily with wood chips and wood pellets. Are you interested, have you got interest in other kinds of materials? You were talking about there about composty kind of materials.
Yeah, we're working with municipal waste, so landfill waste. We've just recently done a project looking at what residues are available, and we identified the amount of waste that's going into the landfill is green waste, you know, untreated timbers from construction, you know, bits of furniture, and looking at and turning that into a fuel product and using that in boilers. It would be a low grade, what we'd consider a low grade fuel, so you'd need quite a sophisticated boiler to burn it. But that's another opportunity there. I think before this interview started, we talked about the coffee grounds that come out of Dunedin, out of Cerebos Greggs, and you know, that could be another really good waste stream for someone who's willing to take the step and try that.
Right. So Cerebos Greggs, they do that a bit themselves, don't they?
Yeah. They burn a fraction of their fuel of their waste grounds in their boiler, but their boiler is a coal boiler. So it takes a mixture of coal and the grounds, and those grounds, when you dry them up, it's rocket fuel. It's got more energy than coal. It's like the high grade coal that we send off overseas. It's really good fuel.
Isn't that amazing? So,
yeah.
What would you like to see happening? You know, with businesses and organisations in terms of, you know, ones that produce these waste products and ones that need them for energy?
Yeah, look, I'd like to see our councils get more, think a bit outside the square and try and match these businesses with businesses that produce waste heat, for example, or another waste stream, and try and match that with an organisation that needs that. I mean, the classic example is where you see a pool sitting next door to a ice rink. The ice rink needs energy to make the ice, and the process ejects heat out to the environment, and the pool grabs that energy and uses it for heating the pool. So you're getting a really good match. So I'd love to see more of that in Dunedin.
Yeah. So have you got much incentivization for people using biomass here in New Zealand?
Not like Europe, where, you know, the Wood Energy South project, I think the maximum amount of funding available is $100,000, up to 40%. So you need to spend, a plant has to cost about $250,000 to get the $100,000 subsidy. And that's about it. There's no other big incentives. We're not giving away millions of dollars like they are in Europe. And you
but
know,
it's
you
still
know,
happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's happening on a smaller scale. You know, it took a while for a solar PV to take off here because we didn't have any incentives. You look what they did in Germany with the feed-in tariffs and offering money for every kilowatt hour you put into the grid. You got a you got twice back what it cost you. That never came in here, but New Zealand, it's starting to take off. Solar is really taking off now on a residential scale as well as industrial scale. But the incentives aren't there, so it took a while. The uptake, it wasn't as quick, so you don't get the uptake. But it is slowly happening here without the big funding support.
And perhaps happening for more environmental reasons.
Yes, that's right. You know, and not trying to make money out of a scheme that's sort of offering incentives. But, you know, I guess the counter to that is as long as it's affordable, it's got to be affordable.
I think that's a better way to talk about it. I like that better, you know, talking about is it affordable? Because we've all got to do things that are affordable rather than having the motive wanting to make money. But if you want to be environmental, it still has to be affordable.
Yeah.
We've got that 100,000, and I guess, well, businesses, they do have your assistance if they want some help.
Yeah, that's right. And then we'll go in and do some work with them, and then we can also tee them up with specialists if they need particular specialists for whatever their process is. And there's also funding support available for those businesses as well. We've also got funding support for trials if people want to trial burning wood chip in a coal boiler. So that can also be done. It's not as efficient as a new wood boiler, but for an organisation, who might have to spend $1 million, that's not affordable for them either. So they've got a piece of plant that they can use. So we can also help with wood trials and trialing wood chip in a boiler, and we've had a bit of success with that just recently with some of the wood sawmillers.
Mm. And so we've got a lot happening in Southland that you're involved with, and I understand that you've got a symposium like coming up mid this year, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's at the end of June, so that's the end of the project, and we've also that symposium has been broken down into three main sessions, and one of the sessions is based around a regional perspective. How, you know, what have been the benefits to the region? What are the barriers, and how do you approach this as a region to developing wood energy in your region? And so we're really going to be pushing that out to the councils, and we've had a lot of interest from other regions of wanting to go down the same road.
Right. So really, you're hoping that hopefully all the councils and regional councils will be attending your symposium.
Yeah, I'll certainly get an invite to it, and there'll be another session on the local outcomes of the project. What has this project done to the locals? I mean, one great example is the company CH4 down there, who've really invested into this technology. They've gone overseas, they've created partnerships with the European boiler makers, and now they're bringing the boilers back and they're installing them in Southland. They've had a real change from coal to wood chip, and that's really been interesting to watch it over the last 3 years, how they've just come on board and really jumped into the waka, I guess.
That's great. And having different businesses just there, you know, to talk about their good experiences, I think that will give people a lot of encouragement. So if people want to come to the symposium, where should they find out about this?
Best bet is to go to the Wood Energy South website. It's www.woodenergysouth.co.nz, and all the information is on there, and it's in late June, and it's the sort of the end of the project really.
And it'll be held down, is it in Invercargill?
Held in Invercargill, and we normally put on I don't know if they'll have oysters at that time of the year, but we normally put on a meal for everybody, and it's free to attend. and that will be followed up the next day by a specifier practice paper. So we also developed a practice paper. We found there wasn't a lot of experience in the industry, so we developed a paper that will help people when they're specifying wood boilers, all the key things to think about. So we're running a sort of project, I guess a professional development course the next day. So you can come down for the 2 days.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So what would you love to see in New Zealand, you know, like, I guess, a complete end to us using coal, I guess?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that would be great. I mean, how that will work, I'm not sure, but I'd love to... I really want to see us using all of these waste streams that we've got out there, the municipal waste, these coffee grounds. You know, we've got Spates who are dumping hops out to the landfill. We've got Harroways who dump oat husk. And that must be replicated all over this country. I'd love to see us making use of all of these other waste streams and pulling that in with the wood energy and the full biomass solution, I guess. That would be my dream.
It sounds great. And it sounds smart, you know. So, well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, you're welcome. It's been great to be here. Thanks for the invite.
And thank you for listening. I'm Maureen Howard, and this is Eco Living in Action. And today I've been chatting with Lloyd McGinty from Ahika Consulting, who's very involved with helping businesses and organizations to convert from non-renewable coal to renewable biomass energy. So if you'd like to listen to this show again, you can download it as a podcast from the Otago Access Radio website at oar.org.nz. And Eco Living in Action is supported by Sustainable Dunedin City. So thank you again for listening, and catch you next week.
Sustainable Dunedin City aims to facilitate a positive, secure and sustainable future for Dunedin. We're local people interested in issues of climate change, declining energy security and sustainability. As they affect our city, Sustainable Dunedin City produces a regular online newsletter of sustainability related events, hosts regular green drink sessions and organises the Big Green Challenge. For more information or to join, go to www.sustainabledunedincity.org.nz.